The UK and Australia strike a trade deal. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. It'll be the first of its kind, a tariff-free trade deal etched out from scratch between the UK and Australia. The British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, had a bounce in his step as he posed for photos with his Australian counterpart, a clear victory for him to have sealed this deal, the first since the UK left the European Union last January. This Australian farmer is enthused by the idea of selling his beef to the UK.
Australian beef goes all around the world. We send product into China. We personally send product into the Middle East and throughout Asia. A lot of beef goes into the US, so we don't have enough beef to flood the market in the UK. We'll be sending a high-end quality product beef into the UK, into high-end restaurants, high-end supermarkets. A point of difference that someone can go and know that they're purchasing a quality Australian product.
Now, whilst the details are pretty light at the moment, the symbolic significance is important, potentially setting the terms for future negotiations with other nations, including the US, as the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker explained to me earlier.
Well, precedent is an important issue because the economic impact on the UK is, by the government's own figures, likely to be very small. Frankly, we'll need to see the details of the text, which we won't do for some time. But some of the big issues are going to be just how rapidly British farmers are going to be exposed to more competition, both by way of lower tariffs and also the extent to which environmental, animal welfare, health standards in Australian farm produce are going to be a more difficult issue for British farmers. That's certainly something that they have been concerned about. Hormone, growth promoting hormones are used somewhat in Australia. There's more use of intensive feedlot farming for rearing livestock, and the precedent set in this deal might well feed through into negotiations that the UK has with other potential trade partners, most importantly, of course, the United States.
And Andrew, do you think other countries will be encouraged to come forward to do a deal with the UK following this?
It certainly reinforces the message that the British government has been pushing, that Britain does want to do these kind of deals. And the fact that we have at least got this outline agreement suggests that it is worth the effort. I have no doubt that many other countries would want to do that anyway, but it certainly gives a small additional push in that direction.
BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Vish.
To India now, where more than 40,000 trade organisations have come together to protest against what they say are unethical business practices by some of the biggest online brands like Amazon and Walmart. The BBC's Nikhil Inandar reports now from Miraj.
Well, as a part of this mobilisation, the trade bodies have planned a number of programmes, including meeting with chief ministers and finance ministers of states, urging them to set up a monitoring mechanism for e-commerce trade. They also plan to write to the Prime Minister later this week and ask him to expedite the antitrust probe against companies such as Amazon and Walmart-backed Flipkart after the Competition Commission of India was given a clearance to relaunch investigations by the court last week. Their contention really is that foreign-funded e-commerce companies like Amazon and Flipkart are gaining market share by squeezing out small retailers and indulging into unethical practices like deep discounting and flouting foreign investment rules and holding inventory. Foreign e-commerce players are not allowed to keep their own inventory in India but remain as functional marketplaces. In Miraj, India, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Inandar for Marketplace.
Let's check in with the markets. Shares in companies linked to Indian tycoon Gautam Adani, one of Asia's richest men, have recovered slightly after a sharp fall on Monday following a report that India's largest securities depository had frozen accounts held by foreign funds holding stakes worth billions of dollars. Doctors, nurses and other health workers spend much of their working lives wearing masks, gowns and other forms of personal protective equipment or PPE. Experts have said in China, hundreds of thousands of tons of PPE are going to landfill each day. Now, researchers in New Zealand are testing a new method of disinfection to decontaminate this critical kit and make it safe to use again. The aim is to boost global PPE supplies, as the BBC's Phil Mercer reports.
Researchers want to reduce a mountain of personal protective equipment that's discarded around the world.
The amount of waste that's been produced by the pandemic is absolutely huge. It's been estimated that there's something like 3 million face masks are being used permanently around the world.
Dr. Mark Steger from the University of Canterbury in New Zealand is investigating how to safely disinfect and reuse equipment for frontline workers. If successful, the system could increase the supply of N95 masks, which are designed to filtrate airborne particles, by 400%.
A particular challenge in decontaminating face masks, for example, is making sure that whatever technique you use for killing off the virus doesn't affect the materials contained within the mask. For example, N95 masks have a special electrostatic layer inside them, which is used for capturing very small particles. And if that layer is damaged by the treatment that you're using or the decontamination treatment that you're using, this would render the mask ineffective and lose its functionality.
Masks and gowns contain plastics that can't easily be recycled. Researchers from three universities in New Zealand are testing a process to deactivate the COVID-19 virus and allow them to be used again. The study is due to finish by the end of the year. The team is also building a mobile disinfection unit that could be transported in shipping containers to other countries.
Phil Mercer reporting there. And before we go, UK retailers are gearing up for a summer of love. From first date outfits to dating apps, they're expecting bumper sales. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.